Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Welcome back. We're going to continue talking about obstacles to change. Today, we're going to be talking about when we or those that we love, people that we know, struggle with change because we're angry. Anger is a really common obstacle to change, resistance to change, because we feel like things are unfair, or why do we have to do this? Maybe we're being forced to change, or someone wants us to change, and we just don't want to. Because it's really pissing us off. I think this is really common for the three of us that I can think about, either because someone has been betrayed or because they're at the inpatient level. For those that have been betrayed, how come I have to go to therapy because of what someone else has done?
So another situation that I've been thinking about with anger comes from my personal experience. I've talked about kind of my health journey before, and I remember every time I went into the doctor and the doctor would say, you need to lose weight. And I don't know that there was any other word other than anger that could have explained how frustrated I was that, and this is a type of betrayal, but that the system hadn't actually provided any results. There was a lot of criticism with no help. And I see that in change as well, as people say, do this, but then we don't feel like there's any benefit to actually following a plan or a script. And that can happen when there's attachment traumas, like and with parents, with caregivers, but then also like Taylor's talking about with betrayal with partners or even organizations like the medical field. I think one of the things that happens is this is one of those things where we start to realize that understanding what somebody's been through and having empathy and compassion for them is an important part of the change process before we start to tell them what they need to do to change. So you can meet anger. And again, I talked last time about re-listening to the podcast, right? That this is anger comes from somebody's boundaries being crossed. So figuring out how those boundaries are crossed and why their anger is showing up can be a good place to start with that, even before you start actually moving into change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anger is one of those things, the resistance kind of anger. The most important piece of empathy is finding something that you can say that they're right about. I know when we've talked about empathy on the podcast before, we've said that agreeing with someone and apologizing isn't empathy. And when someone is angry in therapy, it is important that we find common ground. And we might have to zoom out to 30,000 feet. We might have to zoom out to the moon. We might have to zoom out to Pluto in order to find something that we can just use the phrase, you're right. That like, yeah, that wasn't fair. And fairness is really tricky to talk about in therapy because we've talked about destructive entitlement before, that, you know, when things are unjust, that things are unfair enough that it diminishes other people's capacity to see other people's pain or other people's unfairness. And talking about unfairness with someone in destructive entitlement will fuel destructive entitlement. And so it's still important to find what was someone that is angry about coming to therapy or going on a health journey or something in the medical realm? What is it that they're right about? Like, so with betrayal trauma, they've been betrayed by a romantic partner. Like, yeah, you're right. If the world were fair, then the person that betrayed you would do all the work in therapy and you would get better. I think is where I go a lot with a client.
I think that's a really important place. I like that you're bringing this up, Taylor, because I agree, being able to agree with their anger that their boundaries again haven't been crossed, things aren't fair, or your needs didn't get met, or you haven't previously been helped in this area, is it helps people with anger feel seen and known. And we've talked about how connecting that is, and their anger shouldn't be something that gets us as therapists. We know not to get in a power struggle. Now, other people might say, just don't be angry. I'm here to help. So be happy I'm here to help. And they kind of dismiss that anger like it's a negative thing. I have learned to help people embrace anger and say, of course you're angry. Let's feel that. Let's feel that to completion so that we can start to move on. And that is the thing that really helps people, is knowing that their anger is not, it has a place, and the change process and acknowledging it is an important part of the change experience for them.
I think in our discussion about, I mean, in the end, it's, we've gone over the emotion of anger. We've gone over the, what it means. We did that in feelings episodes in the very beginning. And I think when we're looking at it in relationship to this idea of motivation, and why is this a stumbling block in that continual motivation being not only a noun, but a verb. And in this way, it's like saying, okay, how does this hinder me being able to continue that? I think it's really important too, with that motivation aspect of, like we've already talked about, what Taylor and Jen have talked about, it's about addressing like the most basic human emotion of right and wrong, fair and unfair, and just saying like, okay, I've got to just, I mean, Jen was just talking about her kids, like what's fair and what's not fair. And we were talking about that a little bit before. And I think we need to just, first of all, like validate that basic need that we have to see, like, essentially, like, am I crazy? Right? Should I be feeling like I'm entitled to this thing? Because if I am and it's being taken away, screw you, essentially, right? Like, I think we're allowed to have that anger part. And so I think we sometimes as adults like to try to pretend like, as someone who is mature and gone through stages and understands things and more is more intellectual, that we have to get rid of that aspect of that human nature, that we get angry when something is against us or something is not in our favor. But I think that's actually something we need to dig into a little bit more as adults, of saying like, you're allowed to feel the feeling. You just can't act out and hit someone for it, or you just can't act out and yell at someone and say something that's really inappropriate. But the feeling, I don't know where we messed up in society where we said the feeling itself is bad. I think we really messed up by making that the precedent, that the feeling is bad. And in this idea of motivation too, it's, we're not saying like, if you have anger, you will never change. It just, if you continue in anger, you won't be able to change. And so we're saying you have to move through that emotion and acknowledge it first and then move through it. But the resistance happens when I am refusing to move through it. And often I don't want to move through it because I'm worried that if I do, that means that I wasn't allowed to actually feel that feeling, or that I was wrong to feel it. So we need to find a way to like be okay with feeling that feeling and then moving through it. And then we don't have the resistance with that as much.
Sometimes as we look at this idea, people can come across as, I'm trying to think of the right word. was not the word I was thinking. But they can come across as really just defiant, and they don't want help, right? And I remember I had reached a point in my health journey which I had, when I felt like I had tried everything, and I really did feel that way at that point, where I had tried everything, and I decided, I just said, I'm going to be the president of the Fat and Happy Club. And I think a lot of people get into that place when they're angry that change hasn't happened, or that they don't feel like they have control, as we start to own what we know needs to change and just say, this is part of me. I just am this way. I just am this characteristic that hasn't been able to change. And so we can over-identify with things to feel righteous in our anger as well, and saying, well, you know, I've never cheated on anyone, and so I don't deserve this. It's not about deserve. Sometimes it's about what's showing up in your life. You know, I can say I have eaten well and I deserve to be a certain size or a certain health level or off, you know, not have to take so many medications, but it's not about deserving. It's about reality. And so I think one of the things that you can see is that anger doesn't always come across in rage. Sometimes it comes across in entitlement, Taylor, in kind of that righteous indignation that you were talking about as well. I can't think of the term you used, but.
So destructive entitlement is something different. That's when we're unable to register other people's pain.
Right. I wasn't thinking that word. I thought you said something else. My brain might have been fogged over. I thought someone else talked about entitlement, but my brain might have gotten foggy.
You're good. I do think that the entitlement aspect comes into this idea of, like, am I allowed to feel anger and being told I'm not, and being told that I think there's also that, like you guys had mentioned too, the adult change aspect of, well, change happens and you just have to go with it. And this anger of like, but why? Right. And, you know, sometimes there is this feeling of like, I don't feel like I'm supported in this idea that I don't want to change, even though that's what apparently adults do. Right. We are supposed to change. We're supposed to evolve, but
it's the mature thing to do.
It's the mature thing to do is to evolve and to change and to be a different person and to learn new things. And some of us are like, I'm tired of learning new things. I did that for how many years? And I know I'm still going to have to, right? But some of these big new things I'm learning are hard and I don't want to. And so that's where there's resistance and that's where anger comes into play. And that's where I think the entitlement sometimes is. But
I think it's interesting that we use that word mature and we think about adults, right? And how we somehow adults are different. But the truth is our brain, when we're in anger, is not an adult and it's not mature. There's nothing mature and adult about anger. It's an emotion. It needs to be felt and expressed. There are safe ways to do it and there are unsafe ways to do it. But I think it's really important that we not over-rationalize this idea of if you're angry, you get to be angry, and figuring out how to process that anger is maybe your first step. Mm-hmm. But pushing someone past their anger and just saying, we'll do it anyways, is not a way to motivate somebody to change. It's not going to get you anywhere.
It might get you somewhere, but I think it's more entrenched in where you're at.
Not where you want to go.
Not where you want to be.
Most people, I think, respond to when people don't change and they want this person to change, but they're angry, is with at least. You know, Brené Brown has a great TED Talk about this, that, well, at least, you know, things aren't worse.
It's the empathy one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at least is not empathy. It's trying to have someone feel better. Mm-hmm. And at least will just piss people off more and will create more resistance.
So if that's your goal, then that's the better way to do it. But if your goal is to make them feel better, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah. The metaphor, I guess, is maybe the word. If you know, please let me know. The analogy I use with clients most that are angry, particularly if they've been abused, betrayed, going through a really hard time that they're not really contributing to or didn't contribute at all, is that they were driving, wearing their seatbelt, had a safe car, and someone was texting while drunk and ran a red light and T-boned them. And now they have all of this physical therapy and years of pain and healing ahead of them. And that, yeah, it's not fair that you're here. And again, like if the world were just and fair, that the distracted drunk driver would do all of the work and you would get healed. And what do you want to do about it? It's a really, really crappy situation.
And this pulls us back to what you were talking about, Taylor, at the beginning, of people who have been either court ordered into treatment or in treatment because they've been betrayed. It's really important to sit with them through that anger before you're pushing for change. It's not until they decide that they have been felt, heard, seen, and known in their emotion that they can decide whether they want to do something. And sometimes that question of and turning it back and saying, what, how do you want to respond to it, is a good indicator of whether they're willing and ready to actually make the change. And if they said, well, I just want to be angry, As a therapist, I would stay in that anger until it really seemed like they were ready to move on from it. I would say, let's just go there.
Yeah, we did episodes on the stages of change. Just like the stages of change, one day you could be in action, another day you could be contemplative. With the kinds of resistance to change, you can be anger, we can work through the anger, and then the situation that fuels the anger leads to the anger. We can work through it, and then there could be another trigger for it because the situation is ongoing, and we'll have to work through it again in session or over a few sessions. And people get really frustrated, particularly the people in the client's life and the client as well, that, hey, why haven't you worked through this? Why aren't they further along? Well, because the situation is ongoing. It's really hard to heal in the environment that is causing harm.
Bringing that up of, you know, you're going to continue to be frustrated and angry until you fill some space and some boundaries to process that, is a very valid conversation to have with somebody about if they're feeling angry and that's why they're not changing. And again, it just comes down to really seeing and knowing them in their anger versus saying, oh, that anger is so scary, I just want to get away from it as soon as possible.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. If you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.